You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Louis Steins, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is a gentleman who you'll be listening to shortly here, and that is Dennis Wu. Dennis is, of course, the host of Morning Jazz here on KTEP Radio. But the reason we have Dennis with us today is because we're going to talk about a group that you may or may not know about. If you're an aficionado of jazz, you probably are aware of the group, but it's the El Paso Friends of Jazz Society. And Dennis didn't want me to say anything about it, but that's just his humble coming out and his humility. And he is the president of the El Paso Friends of Jazz Society. So welcome, Dennis. And tell us a little bit, first of all, about the society. How did this come about?
Okay, well, first off, thank you, Louis, for this opportunity. And yeah, it's kind of weird talking about it from this standpoint. But the El Paso Friends of Jazz Society started some 31 years ago. There was a bunch of fans of jazz. It was Ed and Mary Davis and a number of other people. Charlie Hill, who still has a show here every Wednesday night, was one of the founding members. Bob Burns was a founding member. So you had all these people 31 years ago who were gathering at Ed and Mary Davis's backyard and listening to jazz. You know, it was a little pickup band. And they were serving up some steaks and chops and things. And little by little, they started realizing that there needed to be a society in El Paso that extolled the virtues not only of jazz, but also to help the young people that were coming through the ranks, help them understand jazz and give them scholarships for learning jazz and taking it into the other schools. So they started the society. It's a full-blown 501c3 organization. It's very philanthropic. It has an idea and a concept of being able to give a kid a scholarship to go on to maybe NMSU or Denver or UTEP or wherever and keep learning about jazz and then bring it back into the community.
I'm glad that you brought up the students into about teaching that in schools and stuff like that, because I think that, you know, when people think of jazz, just like they think of rock and roll, there are so many genres now and so many subcategories and different niches and sub-niches of different groups that, you know, what used to be when the DJs, when you were a disc jockey and we had Top 40 radio, some of those Top 40 hits might include Marty Robbins or Merle Haggard or Ray Price. And, of course, jazz, Ken Burns came out with his documentary and talking about jazz and Prohibition and a bunch of other stuff. And people really still to this day argue as to what is jazz. And I know that for many years, for as many years as I've been working here, 25 years, one of the things that we push is we play mainstream jazz.
There is no definitive definition to jazz, realistically. Duke Ellington had his own idiom about jazz and would stretch the dynamics on something like that. Charles Mingus had categories of jazz, whether it was good jazz, better jazz, or vibrant jazz. Vibrant jazz is when all the musicians, he says, are running around playing their instruments and everybody's on the same page. You know, that's a riot. If you really want to get down to it. But there's really not a definition that's encompassing about jazz other than if you like it, if it moves you, if it gives you emotion, if it makes you feel good, or if it makes you feel melancholy, if it just drags some kind of emotion out of your body, then you know that's a real good composition, regardless of what it is.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Sometimes we'll go to a concert, we'll hear a song, we know the melody. Sometimes the artist will stretch it a little bit because it's a live piece. But with jazz, I think it's probably one of the few genres where you can go up there and play different things, still keep the melody the same, change the song, and it will never be played the same again if they play another set. And people love that when they do that because, as you said, you can have a saxophone and a trombone playing, then all of a sudden a trumpet comes in or a drum and a solo, And you hear that and you're going, wow, that's incredible. And next time you're expecting that drum solo and it's not there or it's not as long.
Right. Here's the deal. You'll see it in concert in country and a lot of rock. Rock has taken it to the nth factor. The blues people have done it for years. Jazz people as well. What they do is they'll take a simple melody line or maybe a harmony and then build on it. That's all it is what they call improv or improvisation. Improvisation on a melody line can stretch as long as you want it to stretch, as long as all of the musicians are talking on that stage.
Is that the same as when a person who is singing a jazz song will start not necessarily singing words, but doing notes and going back and forth? Is that pretty much the same thing?
The same sort of a thing. Yeah, improv becomes vocalese, and vocalese is kind of like scat singing. Ella Fitzgerald was one of the best at doing that sort of a thing. Matter of fact, she's the model where all the young vocalists now are trying to follow along. The males try to follow John Hendricks. John Hendricks was incredible, still is incredible at scatting. He was an NEA jazz master last year and up in Santa Fe last summer performing, still performing at the tender age of 94.
Now, tell us about you. As I mentioned, you're going to be on in a few minutes here playing your show. That you do every Monday through Friday from 9 to noon, except on Fridays when we have the Focus on Campus. And sometimes you'll get requests for people who want to hear a song. And sometimes they can't understand that, you know, that song will not fit in the format. And it's not that type of jazz that we play, or it's not even jazz at all. And it doesn't have to be a jazz station. It could be, you know, a rock and roll station, and somebody calls up and says, can you play Michael Bublé, you know? And right. It's like, I'm sorry, you know, we play hard rock here.
Right. That's a different sort of a thing. It's in the realm of jazz, but now we're getting into a thing called radio format. And since we're jazz, we're not going to take a country song and put it on the radio. Same thing at Y96 up the road. And they're corporate. They'd never take a request regardless anyway, because of the way that the radio station is constructed. But there are certain songs that fit a certain format. And within our mainstream jazz here, we rarely will put in a smooth jazz piece, only because it's kind of hard to make it flow properly. There's a way to do it. You just have to know how to massage a certain set of music, a certain set of songs in order to make that thing fit. And sometimes it's just not going to work.
Okay. What happens, people might ask, okay, why can you play a Frank Sinatra song, but you can't play or you won't play sometimes a Dean Martin song?
That's a good question. Frank Sinatra's more mainstream jazz in some parts, and other parts, he's a very much a pop singer. Dean Martin, on the other hand, was more of what we've called adult contemporary or middle-of-the-road singer, kind of like Jack Jones and Al Martino and people along that line. And even though Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra ran around in the same Rat Pack, that didn't necessarily mean that Dino knew how to sing a whole lot of jazz. As a matter of fact, his producers wanted him to do more pop stuff, trying to keep up with the sales of Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr.
And getting back to the Friends of Jazz, El Paso Friends of Jazz Society, as you mentioned, it just kind of exploded from a group of friends sitting in the backyard, and now you have an actual society. How often do you meet? Where do you meet? Do you have club memberships? Do you have a newsletter? And answer any question in anyone. I know it through a bunch of you.
Well, okay. We don't have a newsletter per se. We send out mailings, but they're usually like a postcard. It'll give you at least the monthly meeting for the next couple of months. For instance, the mailing that we're going to have this time around will show Chris Oliver's Five Tet at Artovino's Desert Crossing, and that'll be on April 14th. And then the following May, which is Mother's Day, it'll be Mike Middleton and Noteworks, and more than likely at the Vista Hills Country Club. So you'll get a mailing reminding you of the two shows, and it'll also give you our website, ElPasoFriendsOfJazz.org. You go to the website, you can become a member that way, or just come to one of our shows. One of our monthly meetings, it's a meeting and a show, more a social gathering than it is a meeting, and more of a show of a concert-style event. So, you know, it's a pretty cool little deal. Come to one of those shows, and you can become a member that way. There's so many different things that we're trying to do in order to try to keep everybody abreast of what we're doing in the El Paso Friends of Jazz Society. And if you'll just come to our website, ElPasoFriendsOfJazz.org, we'll give you all the information you'll need and more.
And so do you sponsor concerts sometimes?
We can. Right now, we're in the process of trying to come up with fundraisers, actually, so that we can bring regional or national acts to El Paso rather than having to rely just on local. That's not to say that's a bad thing. It's just we want to be able to bring more talent to El Paso so that our local talent will be able to accent and create networks with the national talent. And in that realm, we can actually build the largest society here.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was a gentleman we've spoken with before from the Sleep Center who works with Dr. Diaz, Joe Arteaga. I think one or a couple of his children are involved with jazz in high schools. So jazz is not just, like you say, this is not your grandmother's jazz anymore. It's for everybody. And when I was in high school, I remember we had stage bands and we played mostly just big band stuff, but not really some of the jazz that you play on your show.
Nowadays, they've gotten really high tech. There's we just got through last weekend with the Hank's Jazz Festival, the 21st annual jazz Hank's Jazz Festival. The week before that, the EPISD Jazz Festival had wrapped up. So you have at least, as far as I can count, 58 schools, middle schools and high schools playing jazz in various forms, whether they're combos or big band or whatnot. But they're all competing for a whole lot of prizes because ultimately what they want to do now is they want to go to the state level and compete. Once they get to the state level and win, then you go to national competition. Then once you get to national competition, man, you really are flying high. And that's what these teachers around here are trying to accomplish is get these kids to that level. That's where the Jazz Society comes in. We want to be able to provide those scholarships in order to have those kids get to that level and really pump them up. It's just baby steps, trying to make sure that everybody understands what we're really truly all about.
Obviously, people who belong to this society will know a lot about jazz, some more than others. But in a case like this, I think it would be fabulous for a child, a young person, or somebody who doesn't know anything about jazz to sit in and kind of learn a little bit about, today we're going to discuss this group. Today we're going to discuss this group, or we're going to talk about why this tempo was used, etc., and they would just learn a bunch of stuff.
That's why we're trying to bring in these national acts, because most of the jazz players that are out there, I would even venture to say maybe 95% of the jazz players that are out there are also educators, and as such, they become clinicians. A lot of them, they sign contracts with musical instrument companies like Yamaha, Steinway. Name an instrument, name a company, Selmer, Bunn, anything along that line that builds an instrument, chances are there's going to be an artist out there that's signed to them exclusively in order to not only sell their horn, but also to be able to teach how to use that effectively. And a lot of these guys are so willing to get in and teach in the classroom. I mean, it's what they do. That's how jazz stays alive.
And you talked, as we're wrapping up the program here and you get into your show, we talked about the fact that there are a lot of faculty, a lot of local musicians here who are very good.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to hear jazz, there's plenty of it here in El Paso.
El Paso is blessed to have a world-class group of people who really know what they're doing. They've been out there in the real world. They've played with the greats, everyone from Count Basie and Cab Calloway's daughter. There's so many people who have been out there and have done what they're supposed to do, and then they come back to El Paso and teach everybody how that's supposed to be. And that's the beautiful part about El Paso. The musicians, every one of them who is here, they've all played with the greats. They all know what it takes to play with the greats. And they bring it back into the classroom and teach the kids how to play with the greats so that when their time comes, they'll know how to act accordingly.
Well, Dennis, thank you very much for being with us here today. And don't run away too far because you're going to be up in a few minutes here. We've been visiting with Dennis Wu, who is the host of El Paso Jazz here on KTUP. Is it called El Paso Jazz or El Paso Morning Jazz? We say Jazz with Dennis Wu. We say everything here.
No, you know, I've been trying to change the name of this show since I got here 14 years ago, and I'm still stuck with Morning Jazz.
Okay, so Morning Jazz, and eventually we're going to change that name. But anyway, he is the president of the El Paso Friends of Jazz Society, and if you have additional questions about the El Paso Friends of Jazz, you may want to call the station at 747-5153, or do you have a webpage?
El Paso Friends of Jazz. .org.
And you can find out some more about that. Thank you very much for being with us here.
Thanks, Louis.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced in the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer and host and guest, Ms. Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.